Shade Grove State Park in Smolin, New York. This is Radio's Wally Ballou welcoming you to the annual Broadway Employees Outing and Clam Bake. It's a beautiful day here during the next quarter hour. Live broadcasting complete. Artie Skirmahorn and I will try to bring you some of the color, some of the going on here at Pine Grove. Just a minute, please. Bob and Ray are due to arrive at any minute. They haven't made their appearances yet. We're speaking to you from the improvised stage here at the edge of the picnic grounds. The smell of the pit in which the fire is being built to cook the clams is wafting across this group of some 60 or 70 employees of been supplied by Claude and Clyde, the Beanie Twins and their orchestra, and I'd like to have you say just a word to the maestros.
Hi, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed our music.
And we know it's always a pleasure to meet and mingle with all the great Bob and Ray employees.
We love you now.
Hope you enjoy the music. And so long for now.
I love this.
And we're going to make our way back to the dead. We see no sign as yet.
What's that?
Bob and Ray.
Where?
Artie Skirmahorn, come in, please.
I think, Wally, that there's a hog calling contest coming to a conclusion over here at the far end of the Pine Grove area. It seems to me that a group of Madison Avenue hog fanciers have come up here for a hog calling contest.
They were only supposed to have the park for this morning.
That's right. They were supposed to be out of here by noon. That's right.
Well, maybe someone can... Webley Webster, I wonder if you could go over and see if you could shoo them off a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can do.
Here, Artie, I wonder if you'd give me a hand on our commercial for today's program. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're working under field conditions. It's a little bit difficult, but we will try to include all of the elements of the Bob and Ray show until they arrive.
Wally, Scrimhorn here. I might like to mention right now the Columbia Portable Phonograph. Now, you can carry the fun with you with a Columbia Stereophonic High Fidelity Portable Phonograph. I noticed today that Cardell Heff Wharton brought up his portable phonograph, and he's having a wonderful time over there under a tree.
Anyone who has a Columbia Stereophonic Portable Phonograph will have all of the fun of the best of music, the wonderful world of sound, with them wherever they go. And the prices are reasonable, too. They begin at only $24.95 for Columbia Portables.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Artie.
Right. I just wanted to mention that they have that big console sound reproduced by Columbia Stereophonic High Fidelity Phonographs. So thrill to the excitement of Stereo One by Columbia. Number one in the wonderful world of sound. See them at your Columbia dealer today.
Thanks, Artie Skirmahorn. Now, I see at the edge of the picnic grounds the Bob and Ray chauffeur. High-powered, the word is getting around. Play the regal music, babies. Waving as they drive slowly through, wending their way amongst the pine trees. And right here, before we hear from Bob and Ray, who incidentally don't seem to be getting out of the limousine at this point, they must be making last-minute plans for what they will say.
Excuse me, Wally. I might mention, I was just trying to talk with the McBeatys here, estimating the temperature. I'd say that it was maybe 102 degrees here today with high humidity, maybe 98% or so. And I think that... It's the reason Bob and Ray are not getting out of their black limousine is that it's an air-conditioned car. I think they're going to stay
in there. You think they'll stay there for the whole show?
Is that
the way it's going around?
Well,
so thick, I don't blame you.
Right now, for a bit of the sports activity taking place here at Pine Grove Park, let's switch to the baseball field and Steve Bosco to bring you the featured last half of the seventh inning.
Hi, everybody. This is Steve Bosco. I'm set to bring you the last half of the featured seventh inning $20 added here. The game between the fat Bob and Ray employees and the skinny Bob and Ray employees. Chester Hasbrook Frisbee of the fat team is at bat now. Jack Headstrong is the skinny pitcher. He's tossing him up to Chester now. Seems to be a little delayed. I might point out an unfortunate incident that happened earlier in the second inning when Charles the Poet slid into second base for what appeared to be a two-base hit. The only thing was he stirred up a bit of a ruckus. He slid into a polecat sleeping on the other side of the second base bag, and they had to bury his skinny uniform. He's finishing out the game in his swimming trunks. Dr. Brittany Stoll is on first. He was hit in the head by a high hard one just a moment ago, so he's taking a very short lead off first. Chester Hasbrook Frisbee swinging his bat at the plate. Jack Hitchcock, Headstrong winds up, and there's the pitch. A slow roller going down to second base. As they can see, an easy double play ball. Robert Ray from the team has just come from approximately a third base coach's line out over the pitcher's mound. I think they probably nicked Jack Headstrong and have gone off to a shady spot in deep right field. I think that probably will be the end of the ball game, the featured seven. On this happy note, I suppose it's a happy note. Yes, Jack Headstrong is all right, and now they seem to be arguing down there that it was illegal that Bob and Ray drove across the field, but it is their victory. On this note, then, this is Steve Oscar rounding third, being thrown out at home.
Back here at the entertainment side of the park, this is Wally Ballou again, and we're about to see some of the first of the acts lined up for today's fun. First of all, I'm going to call on my broadcasting partner, Artie Skirmahorn, to help me describe the Cabot Brother and their flamenco dance. Artie?
Well, it was billed as the Cabot Brothers.
That's what I thought.
Fortunately, Bruce tripped and sprained his ankle in rehearsal, so it will be just Lenny. Hey, Cabot Brother.
Just one. There he goes.
He's on the stage now.
Never seen him perform in quite this fashion before.
Well,
it's almost as if he were staggering, Artie, wouldn't you say so?
Exactly. That's what he's doing. I wouldn't like to criticize an act, but it appears to me that he's in bad shape. Get him off the stage.
Somebody get Cyril Gore ready. He's going on early.
Get that Cabot Brother off before he hurts himself.
The Cabot Brother, flamenco dance act, has not gone over too well.
Pour water on him. He'll be all right.
But they're pouring water on him now. Coming up the steps to the stage now is one of the acts flown here from England.
Right on out, Cyril. Well, you need something to pip up the audience.
Great little talent, great little performer, Cyril Gore, flautist. And what are you going to give the folks, Cyril?
Too late, he's on the stage.
Oh,
now.
He's going into his number right. There he goes. Yes, Artie.
You better get him off the stage.
I don't think they'll stand much more of it.
You better get off the stage for your own good. You don't want too much trouble. Thank you very much. It's nice of you to come.
Artie Skirmahorn is escorting Mr. Gore to the rear of the platform now. And I think it would be a good time, ladies and gentlemen, if I may have your attention, to bring on the wealthy Jacobus Pike, chairman of the Bob and Ray Board. Will you get him for me, Artie? He is going to deliver the prepared announcement that Bob and Ray would have given had they not stayed in their limousine. You come right over here, Mr. Pike. He has a few pages of prepared copy there. And in just a moment, they will hear the speech that they would have delivered.